afternoon, everybody. I hope you got a good sense from Wayne how broad the efforts were involved in these statewide initiatives. And so I only have 20 minutes, so I'm going to just do a quick review of some of the key findings from our evaluation. And I'm only one of many members on the RAND evaluation team, so I'm presenting on behalf of all the work contributed by the team. So just before I go on, I just have to tell you that I have no financial conflicts involved in this research. So as you just heard from Wayne, prevention and early intervention programs seek to prevent mental health problems and to reduce adverse outcomes among those who are already affected. And for the state of California, there were three main areas that were a focus for the statewide initiatives. It was one, to prevent suicide. Two, to reduce stigma and discrimination associated with having a mental illness, and to improve student mental health. And you've just heard there are a variety of programs that were funded under these initiatives, everything from social marketing campaigns to training, development of online resources, and collaborations. From our evaluation, we found that Cal Mesa's investments resulted in tremendous growth in skills and resources needed to deliver these programs, with respect to organizational infrastructure, staff expertise, resources, collaborative relationships, and training programs. And a lot of these educational resources that were developed were also tailored for specific target audiences, and many of them being diverse audiences. In addition to this capacity building, we also found that California's statewide PEI programs reached a large number of Californians, and the results are promising. And so what I'm going to do is just highlight some key findings from different types of PEI programs, and I'll start off with the social marketing campaigns. These are just two of the social marketing campaigns. Wayne had talked about the Each Mind Matters campaign, which was delivered under the Stigma Discrimination Initiative, and then Know the Signs campaign, which was delivered under the Suicide Prevention Initiative. So to track the impact of these PEI programs, we conducted a California statewide survey in 2013 and a follow-up survey in 2014. And so from these surveys, we know that one in four Californians had been exposed to the Each Mind Matters campaign over these 2 years. And that translates to about 7 million people having heard about the campaign. And since the campaign's inception, the stigma of mental illness in the state has decreased. This is one indicator of stigma, social distance, which is the desire to distance oneself from someone who has a serious mental illness in a variety of social situations. And so you'll see that the percentage of Californians who report being unwilling to socialize with someone who has a mental illness in different social situations has decreased from 2013 to 2014. And even though the effects are small, they are significant, and they really are in line with what other campaigns have done across the world. This is a breakout of exposure to the Know the Signs campaign. You'll see in 2013, more than 30% of the California adult population had been exposed to Know the Signs. And in 2014, an additional 21% of California adults had been exposed to the campaign. And RAND also convened an expert panel of suicide, people who are experts in suicide prevention, and they reviewed the campaign, and they found it to be aligned with best practices, and they held it with very high regard. And so in total, over these 2 years, more than half of the California population had been reached by the Know the Signs campaign. Here's a comparison of those who were newly exposed to Know the Signs and those who had never been exposed. And you'll see that those who had been exposed to the campaign report increased a significant, they were significantly more confident to intervene and refer people who might be at risk for suicide compared to those who had never been exposed to the campaign. Here's just some of the trainings that were delivered under the three initiatives. This is not a complete listing. A lot of the programs just weren't manualized or didn't have their own logos. So this is just a partial listing of some of the trainings. So under student mental health, there were a lot of trainings delivered to faculty and staff in K-12 and higher educational settings. And so this is sort of the cumulative findings from those trainings. And you'll see that those who participated in these trainings experienced increased confidence and likelihood to intervene and refer students who are in distress. And we found these significant increases from right before taking part in the training and then right after in both educational settings. So under the Stigma and Discrimination Reduction Initiative, NAMI had been was just one of the programs that delivered educational trainings. They actually delivered four trainings. Three were focused on adult populations, and one was focused on high school students. And so across the four programs, NAMI successfully implemented more than 2,000 trainings that reached over 18,000 individuals in California. And here's just one snapshot, again, looking at social distance, for their program IOV, which is In Our Own Voice, which is a contact-based strategy where people talk about their personal recovery stories. And you'll see that there were significant, in this case, increases in willingness to socialize with someone who had a mental illness. And we found significant improvements in a variety of other stigma indicators. Here are some findings from their Ending the Silence program. This is with high school students. And so you'll see that after participating in Ending the Silence, high school students reported significantly greater mental health knowledge. And again, we found significant improvements in other aspects with respect to emotional responses and attitudes toward people who are affected by mental illness. Now, this is an example of investments made under the Suicide Prevention Initiative. A significant amount of resources was dedicated to the Applied Suicide Intervention Skills Training, ASSIST. This is a training program that teaches people on how to recognize someone who is at risk for suicide and how to intervene. And this is often delivered to gatekeepers, like clergy or teachers or first responders, people who have a higher likelihood of maybe interacting with people who are in distress. And so this is a little bit different. This is training individuals to be ASSIST trainers, so a train-the-trainer model to develop these trainers. And so one aspect that we looked at this are what are some of the potential benefits in terms of lives saved and dollars saved when you make this kind of investment. And here's the predicted effects of a one-year investment in ASSIST. For each year of program investment, at least 3,600 future suicide attempts, including 140 deaths, could be prevented. And this translates into, for each dollar invested, we estimated a return of $50 to the government of California. And these savings are accrued through averted Medi-Cal healthcare costs and increased revenue through income state taxes. And this is over a 28-year period, and Scott is going to go into lots of detail in his presentation over the cost-effectiveness. That's just a preview. In addition, the program partners, a lot of them developed a lot of resources and disseminated it also, not only in person, but through their websites. And so we found in a year's time, more than 650 visits had been made, and more than 66,000 resources had been downloaded. And most of the website visits did originate within California, 60%. But more than 80% of those visits were from the largest metro areas, that is from Los Angeles, Sacramento, and San Francisco. So that does point to the need to reach the less populous regions of California and the need to be able to drive more people to these websites so that they know that these resources are available. Program partners also were heavily involved in developing collaborations across different organizations to better serve their communities. And some of the collaborative groups actually were able to influence policy or create products with widespread impact. So for example, there was a student mental health policy work group that influenced state teacher credentialing standards that were approved to actually require teachers to have the training and resources to provide services to students and their families who need mental health services. So despite these promising results, we do have evidence that efforts to reduce stigma and discrimination and to improve student mental health really need to continue. Wayne had touched upon this briefly, some of the results. In addition to the statewide surveys that we had conducted, we had also conducted a survey of Californians who were experiencing psychological distress. And what we found was that 9 of the 10 people who had a serious mental health needs reported being discriminated against because of their mental health problem. More than 2 in 3 would hide their mental health problem from coworkers or classmates, and more than 1 in 3 would hide it from family or friends. So this really touches upon sort of we've been talking about the social norms and the culture of mental health and how society treats these issues. In addition, only a subset of those who were seriously distressed had sought treatment. So still, even with all these efforts, still high levels of unmet mental health needs. There's also a need for targeted effects to reach California's college campuses. We found that 1 in 5 higher education students report psychological distress. And a lot of the college students have high rates of impairment due to their psychological problems. So this graph shows you the community college campuses, the California State University campus, and the UCs. And what you'll see is their reported impairment that they experience from different mental health conditions that they're experiencing. And there seems to be a particular need to intervene on community college campuses. You'll see in the blue line, even though the prevalence of mental health problems are comparable across these systems, community college students report the greatest levels of impairment related to their mental health needs. And they actually have the lowest rates of actually receiving a referral or utilizing mental health services. And when there were surveys of the faculty and staff at these educational higher ed institutions, most of them actually were unsure of what are the warning signs of when a student might be distressed. And many of them didn't have the skills on knowing how to talk to a student who might be in distress and were unsure where to refer the students. And even though there were trainings made available to address these knowledge and skill gaps, many of them didn't attend the trainings. And the largest barrier was simply just not knowing that those trainings were being offered. So in addition to these continued efforts, it's really important to continue to monitor the progress of these PEI efforts. We just sort of have the baseline picture of the short-term impacts of these efforts, but really a lot of the PEI components were designed to work in synergy with one another and to build upon one another to create greater change that we probably wouldn't see until a little further out, things like actually finally getting to get services. Those are things that take a longer time. And so we really need to continue the monitoring to see what the longer term impacts are, and also in terms of targeting future programming to know where the successes are being made and where the needs are the greatest so that we can more efficiently direct future programming. So in conclusion, results are promising, the early results that we see, but the sustained investment is clearly needed. Cal Mesa has built up an enormous wealth of resources and trainings and has made substantial progress over these last 4 years. They've reached large numbers of Californians, and of those who were reached, we see improvement in attitudes, beliefs, intentions for all those who were reached by these programs. However, we still see, we didn't get into detail, but certain communities like college community campuses have great need, and it takes time to see these longer term effects. And without sustained investment, many of the gains will be lost. So we know from social marketing campaigns that a lot of times those effects are short-lived unless they're maintained. And we know this from the smoking campaigns and a lot of the other campaigns. But the good news is that the cost that it takes to sustain these efforts is a lot less than the initial startup. And Cal Mesa has done a tremendous effort in delivering the startup costs for these programs. And so I feel like I've done an injustice because They've done so much more in this whole effort, so go to their Cal Mesa website and all of their detailed evaluation reports from RAND 2. There's a link to that. If you want more detailed information, you can go to the Cal Mesa website. Thank you.